Hey, everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's feature is my friend, Casey Joe Collins. We linked up over Zoom a little bit ago to hang out and talk about his new EP titled I Promise to Be Brave. We had a lot of fun digging into this album and some of the stories behind these songs and even do a little live jamming. So hope you dig it. Do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located right here in St. Louis, Missouri. You can visit them in the Maplewood area over off of Manchester. You can swing by the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase of all your favorite beard oils, your beard balms, their famous junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Again, swing by the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and tell them Shane sent you. Even if you don't have a beard, you can check out all their wonderful grooming products. They're all natural. They all smell great. And you can find all your grooming needs at American Rambler. So they've got you taken care of whether you got a beard or not. Also, big shout out to Heil Sound for their continued support. Help me make this show sound great. So visit heilsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. Been recording my intros in the show with my PR40, and I really love this microphone. So pick yourself up one today and take your recording to the next level. Also, if you haven't picked up one, you can head on over to buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and pick up a Little Shaney t-shirt or one of the original logo shirts in all various colors, different sizes, whatever you're into. We got a couple of different options there for you. And it's a great way to help support the show and keep it going. So if you like what you hear, get out there and grab a Little Shaney shirt and let everybody know your favorite podcast in town. But I appreciate anybody that's already bought one. It really means the world to me. It's really cool to see those out. They always make me smile. So thank you to everybody that's bought one of those. If you need me, of course, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the socials. Feel free to email me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you're thinking of this new Casey Joe Collins record. And with that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with my buddy, Casey Joe Collins.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Casey Joe Collins, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out on Zoom with Casey Joe Collins. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. We've been trying this for a minute, right?
Yeah. I'd like to, start with saying thanks to mutual friend Adam Gaffney. I think he was the first to kind of help connect some of the dots.
Yep.
And yeah, we've been trying to make this work, and finally the stars aligned.
Yeah. Yep, here we go. Just took a pandemic. That was it.
Yeah, right.
That's we just needed that.
Sure. Well, I think we were going to do it in town. I think, and then of course, you know, there was some kind of global pandemic happened and shut everything down, and it didn't happen. So now we're here on Zoom making it work, but which is always cool. Like I'm glad that this is an option, and I've been making this work.
Sure.
You know, I found a way to maintain the quality, you know, to be able to record over Zoom now like this. And, it's not quite, you know, it doesn't fully replace, just actually getting to meet and hang out in person, but it's still cool. But it's nice to have like these introductions like this for me and you. And then like when you do come to town, we can, you know, just hang out and have a good time. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But I've been fortunate enough to like link up with a couple of, you know, cool people around just since a lot of artists are stuck at home, you know, with nothing going on. So
yeah, we're starving for attention. We'll take it.
But so where is home for you at right now? Where are you currently located?
I'm sitting in Des Moines, Iowa.
All right.
It's a pretty lovely place that I've grown to love quite a bit over the last decade or so. So
right on. And has that always been home, or are you?
No, I'm an Ozarks boy. Okay. I grew up about 15 minutes from Arkansas, down in Southwest Missouri. And so, but I've been up here since 2010, and, it's a very different world than where I grew up, and you know, there's positives and negatives to both, but sure. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time in the Ozarks. Obviously, it's, you know, it's maybe an hour and a half drive or so from where I live and grew up and everything. But we had property for a long time in the Ozarks. At we never really like the. I think Dad always had a dream of like building it up and having a lake house down there kind of thing. And, piece of land, and then he had like a retaining wall, and we eventually ended up like, he just built like a deck on it. And we like would set up the tent like on the deck kind of thing. And we had the dock, for the boat, and that's really all we needed. Like, but it was like, it would have been cool to have, you know, develop it up into more of a lake property and stuff. But, you know, we made do for what we had, and we had a lot of good times down there.
It's a gorgeous area. It's a beautiful place with some really cool music floating around those hills too. There's a lot you can find down there.
We every now and then we still run down there. I mean, all that stuff, like I like the lake's cool and all, but like even just like around, like you're saying, like going through like some like the state parks and everything else.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, there's just like a lot of really pretty land around there. And like, I like all the Haha Tonka's got like all the castle ruins and stuff like that. And
there's some really cool places down there.
Yeah. Do you find yourself like being inspired by that? Like, do you like to go out in nature a lot? And
Since hitting the road a bit more frequently over the last years, I've tried to make it a point to take some photographs and go spend some time wandering around these places. And that it's super easy for touring to just wind up being a different dive bar every night. And you're driving past all this really cool stuff that I don't know. I've tried to make it a priority to stop and get out in that. But, I think also my, since moving up here, you know, Des Moines is a bit more flat, than the Ozarks. Yeah. And so, it's a bit of an adjustment. I think I've done a lot of processing and dwelling, kind of on, how the topographical features kind of influenced my life, if that makes sense. And how we kind of become part of what our environment is. That's always been, pretty heavy in my songwriting is the Ozarks, and I can blame them for some of the reasons that I act the way I do, because I grew up in the Ozarks. You know, that's why I don't. That's why I don't wear shoes and I can't read. You know, no, I joke.
I think it was my. I guess the last time I was down that way was my brother's bachelor party. We rented a condo or whatever for the weekend, a bunch of guys, and it was a fun time, man. We just kind of bar hopped, which was like, it was kind of crazy because, like, obviously I got these friends in St. Louis music now.
Sure.
You know, a lot of them playing cover bands on the weekends and things too. So like we go down to the lake, and then I end up running into all my St. Louis friends down at the lake, playing in, you know, bars and stuff. So it was like, I had no idea. I didn't look at the calendar at all, but they were all, we went to like three different bars, and I ran into three different bands I knew. So it was just like,
sure. That's fun.
It's just funny that we drive all the way down here, and then we run into each other and stuff. So.
Sure. When I moved to Iowa, folks like to, they like to make this joke, which is actually in Missouri, an Arkansas joke. And I'm assuming an Arkansas, Louisiana joke, but the, you know, it's something about the, it's a negative comment about Missouri. But then everyone would tell me about all their vacations in Missouri. And I'm like, okay, so you're knocking the fact that I'm from this state, but then you like willingly go there for weeks at a time.
All right.
That doesn't make sense. Why? Sure. I don't get it. But then I feel sorry for Louisiana, who has got nothing. They got no one to make fun of. They're just like, yeah, sorry guys. That's us.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all kind of guilty of that. Everybody rips on the, you know, the Florida man and everything else.
Sure.
Everybody loves going to Florida, get to the beach.
Right. Right. You knock it until you get the flight there. And then you're like, this is the best place ever.
Yeah. But obviously you can't deny there's so many Florida man headlines and everything else.
You know, I feel like they do a good job of setting themselves up for some of those jokes. What are you going to do? It's low hanging fruit. You got to swing at it, right? Yeah.
So when does music kind of enter your life? Is that as it was pretty young when you started writing these songs and things, or
it wasn't until high school that I started poking around at songwriting. I've got a bunch of my souvenirs from childhood, and I found a couple of my like young authors awards that I got for little books that I wrote in like first and second grade.
All right.
One of them is about a tooth fairy that's apparently the most terrifying creature ever. I was like, looking back at it, I'm like, what was I going through at that moment? That's what the tooth fairy looked like to me. It was terrifying, apparently. That's some of the writing, but I grew up in church, and so Southern gospel music was a big part of my growing up experience. Mm-hmm. And grandma was the first reason that I picked up a guitar, because she had one sitting in the corner. And one day I was about 13 and I said, hey, how do you do that? And she showed me how to play Amazing Grace.
There you go.
I took those three chords and learned most of the punk rock songs that existed, and took off in bands, playing punk rock shows. So it was always there, but the form, was always kind of changing until I could, you know, get an old enough to figure out who I was a bit more and what mm-hmm. music was to me, I think. But I've always been drawn to music, and always I can remember listening to very specific Southern gospel trios on vacation in my headphones. And I just remember being like, I feel something when I listen to music, and I like that. And I've just always been kind of captured by it, I think.
Yeah, man.
But it wasn't until I was 13 that I got to start to actually mess with it and try to create it myself. But that was definitely rad.
Yeah. So do you recall what your first CD or was that you bought with your own money that was something you picked up beside, or was that gospel, the stuff that you were picking out?
When I was growing up, I wasn't really allowed to pick my music. It was kind of picked for me. So, my first recollection of buying a CD that eventually one of my parents was like, I don't know about this music.
Yeah.
Was MXPX's The Ever Passing Moment.
All right.
The song Responsibility was on that. And I don't remember where I had heard that song, but I was like, I need this CD. I got away with it because they were still a Christian band. And so, I got to sneak that in. I got the punk rock and, got away with it. So that was the first one that was mine. How about yours?
There you go. I mean, obviously I loved a lot of the music my parents listened to, you know, they were big on, blues and Southern rock and, you know, a lot of ZZ Top and Skynyrd and Allman Brothers and that kind of stuff. And but I do like remember, like a Christmas, I got like an Aerosmith Greatest Hits and a Pearl Jam Vitalogy. So,
sure.
I remember those were, but I think like one of the, I do recall, one of the early memories, like I remember going, you know, again, like maybe 12 or something, probably way too young to probably be buying it on my own. But I remember going to like this flea market, and I had a couple of bucks my dad gave me, and I remember hearing it in my cousin's car, but it was Easy E straight off the motherfucking streets. And about something about that record, you know, I enjoyed, and like it sounded good, and
sure.
So, but I was just like thinking, like I laugh about it now because I'm like, man, I can't believe, like it's just funny to think that some guy sold some kid this record and stuff that like, but
right. That would have killed my grandmother.
Yeah.
Right. There's no way around that. Punk rock was the way to ease into that. I think, right. I think she would have been, really thrown off if we had swapped, the firsts.
Yeah. I don't know. My parents, they were pretty, relaxed as far as, they were, products of the 70s, you know, they were
sure.
Kind of hippie kids. And, so like, things were by time, you know, like as long as I wasn't doing anything super bad, like they were, everything was pretty cool, but like, I didn't really get, censored on a lot of my music or anything like that. And, but like saying that, like the punk stuff, like there was like a stuff like where I was listening to some of these things, but then like, there was a whole world of stuff I didn't, but I do recall going to my buddy Josh's house again, probably sixth or seventh grade, and hanging out, and his older brother introduced me to like some of that kind of like, of course, like Blink 182 and Phoenix TX and
right.
Some of that whole like kind of wave of punk rock and stuff. And like,
sure.
And I was just like, man, this stuff's fun too. Like I never really got into that just because never really had anybody introducing me to it. And
sure. Isn't it funny? Like, that I can look back and point out people that I would like call my music mentors, people that hand me burnt CDs and they'd taken time to write like who these names of these artists were. And then when you would find that song, you're like, oh, I got to stop the CD and see who that was, 'cause I really liked that song.
Yeah.
I grew up outside of a tiny town. And so finding music was really difficult. And so like even finding mainstream, what music snobs would say is like mainstream punk rock, I'm like, yeah, okay. So it wasn't hard for you to find that because everyone had it. People didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Right.
When I was like, hey, Rancid is a band I would like to listen to. And they're like, why would you want to ever do anything like that? That sounds terrible. I'm like, you don't get it. I understand that, but I would like to listen to Rancid. And they're like, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Now any kid can just pull up Spotify and listen to whatever, man. Like, but
isn't it wild?
Yeah, it's come a long way from, you know, like now, you know, you had to actually go to your record stores and everything else trying to find
right
things. And
I remember sampling in music stores. Like they would have, the test CDs you could go listen to, which is funny to think of at the, you know, in the midst of a pandemic of like, let's all share headphones. Like what a thing we're never going to do again.
Oh yeah.
Finding music's not always the easiest thing, isn't, but it's like when you find it though, isn't that why we like grab a hold of it so hard?
Sure. I mean, that's like, I almost feel like we could go back to some of that because like, you know, because it was something that was like really precious at the time, you know, like this was something that people, especially you buy a record and you're like, you invested into it, you know, you spent the time listening to it and studying it and everything. But now it's like music has just become so disposable, you know, it's just like nobody takes the time to deep dive into a record that's a singles are hot for a week and gone. And it's like,
Right. I remember that, like taking my lawn mowing money to the music store and buying my own, you know, one or two CDs with my $20, depending on the popularity of the record. Buying those two CDs and listening to them all the way through front to back. And I still do that, with Spotify for the most part, with artists. I think there's a reason you put it in this order. I hope, right. You know, and so let me do it that justice. And to the point that when I hear a song, if it's on a random shuffle, I'm expecting the next song on the record to come up. And if it doesn't, I'm like, I'm thrown off. But yeah, I think it's a blessing and a curse to have access to all of the music that's right. ever been recorded, but also it's very overwhelming. Yeah. And are we giving ourselves more and more ADHD with our music of like, oh, you guys should listen to 7 seconds of 300 songs that I love. You know, it's easy to turn into that guy in the car of like, oh, no, you got to hear this one. Yeah. Now you got to hear this one.
Yeah. It is funny though. I mean, I find myself even saying that kind of stuff. Like I do kind of like fall back into like old favorites just because but it's like when you have endless options, it's hard to make a decision. Like, what do I even want to listen to? Like it's just,
right. Yeah. It's so, overwhelming.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. But, yeah, man. Well, you, let's talk. Well, speaking of records, sure. You did release, your debut album now, February, 2021, mm-hmm. we dropped this, new collection of songs. And, so obviously, like you're saying, like there's definitely, and I'm with you too, fully, like, I love listening to a record start to finish, like the same thing. These artists took the time to, you know, some records are, you know, more of a concept album or whatever, to sure. where the story goes through the whole thing. But, you know, either way, even if you just put them in a particular order, I'm going to listen to them in that order and stuff. So,
right.
This was, like doing this show, it's like always super fun for me to like discover an artist. And, you know, like I said, we kind of were introduced from a mutual friend, and I didn't really know what to expect from your music. You know, just like it could be anything really. Sure. Like I had a sort of an idea that you know, definitely a songwriter, but like, and somewhere in that kind of vein, but, you know, that's a pretty broad, you know,
right. So,
but when I clicked play, I was really digging it. Like I was really impressed by this album and, had a lot of fun with it. Listened to it, twice today, just kind of getting in the right headspace for our conversation. And,
sure. So, Thank you. Man. It was a lot of fun, and frustration to put together. I kind of feel like it's my pandemic souvenir, because a lot of these songs were written and finished before we even thought about a pandemic happening. But they still felt like they fit, and they felt like it fit under the album title. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was my, I don't know, my like, okay, I still accomplished something, in the 2020 breadth. Right.
Right.
So that was my stick it to 2020. It was like, I'm still going to put out this record. Cause we recorded most, I believe we finished it all for the most part in 2020. And then it was, you know, process getting everything finished. Cause when you try to do anything in a pandemic, it's tricky and complicated.
Yeah. So, I Promise to Be Brave is the name of the record, available now digitally everywhere. And, kcjoecollins.com. You, and, mm-hmm. Of course, get plugged in on, Facebook and Instagram and all the socials and mm-hmm. whatnot. And, we're going to give you a little sneak peek, at some of this. And I picked a song, Burnt Out Cigarettes. This was a particular favorite of mine. Just kind of, felt like an Irish folk drinking tune, especially with the clapping, and there's a, and you'll hear, and like, here locally in St. Louis, we have a John D. McGurk's, downtown, and it's definitely, the pub, you know, it's,
sure.
And my friends, the Falling Fences play there every Sunday for like the last 8 years.
Nice.
And they, have like, you know, they do like a lot of cover stuff too. I mean, I think they did Nirvana,
sure,
like last week or something. And, but they like Tom Petty or whatever. You know, they just a lot of random stuff. But they have a lot of great originals, and they try to borrow from that Irish folk kind of theme. And like, it's just like, it just feels good, like being in that room. And like, I just imagine like when I heard this song for the first time, that's where I went to that room. Everybody kind of got their pint of Guinness and like,
sure,
just like. Kind of felt like that in that vein.
It's one of my favorite compliments I think I've ever received. Yeah, I appreciate that. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite kinds of places to play. I like to, I don't know. I like places where I feel like I'm just the guy with the guitar that could be any of the guys at the bar. Like, you know, that's fun for me. I like that.
The 30s, now where dreams go to die. Still got a few more songs to sing. I just rattle along like an old freight train. A prodigal son far from home. We're just trying to be more than burnout cigarettes. There's a few more hearts to break at the bar singing sad. Shut their mouths and the road never seems to end. I just sing along to an old punk rock song with friends whose names I don't know. We're just trying to be more than burnout cigarettes. There's a few more hearts to break at the bar singing sad songs. In our youth, we wanted to be astronauts. Now our heroes all abuse substances. Maybe there's hope in this for all of us. We can find a means to make our way. We're just trying to be more than burnout cigarettes. There's a few more hearts to break at the bar singing sad songs.
Yeah, man. So this is and of course, like the lyrics too, like as like it just resonated with me. Like, it, you know, it's you know, it's got, it still has a positive spin on it and stuff, right. You know, so anyway, what would you like to share about this particular track?
Sure. I think it felt like it fit the record with the title "I Promise to Be Brave," because I'm glad you pulled that out, because I try to have, even with the saddest stories that I'll write, I want there to be hope, because mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm able to tell these stories, and some of the stuff that it'll be coming out and that I put out under Mississippi Jake that was all very personal writing. Even though there's some really sad stories in there, if you wait to the end, like, it's okay. We can talk about facts as they are, but it's what you do with those things, right? And so my goal was to be able to positively process a lot of that stuff. But with the album title, "I Promise to Be Brave," it doesn't specify what being brave looks like, or the right or wrong way to do that, if that makes sense. And so I think that's why that kind of fit in with that one for me.
Yeah, man. You, and this was cool too, because For the most part, I would say, like, overall, like, a lot of this record is you and guitar. You know, right. there are some a little more production on some of them, but this one, it was nice to hear that fiddle going in there.
Sure.
So it was it helped bring introduce some new sounds to the album and stuff too. And
right.
So that was also fun to hear on that track.
Sure. That was fun, a fun process that came from somewhere near LA. We did a bit of computer recording and sending on some of the stuff. Even though we had plans for in studio musicians, we had COVID concerns. And mm-hmm. so, you know, there were some folks that needed to, you know, take care of their stuff and not be around anybody else. And that was totally fine. And we had a few folks that came in, and the studio was great about taking very, very all the precautions that they needed to. And make sure everyone was comfortable and able to create, but also safely. So yeah, it took bravery to make the record with all the things even going on.
There you go. Yeah. I think that's, cool too, that we have that technology now, like even just doing this, but like that you can jam, you know, you can have, people, anywhere in the world and they can play on the same song and stuff like that. And
right.
There's a cool video that popped up. I don't think it was like, you know, it was before the pandemic, but it was like blanking on the song, not what it was like the band. It was a Levon Helm song and it was just cool that like they had like people everywhere, you know, just all over whatever. But they were playing like, you know, they would have like some guy playing like a sitar or something, like, you know, whatever, like their instruments and playing the song and stuff like that too. Like, so it comes something completely different than what it was written on with a, you know, an acoustic guitar and
sure.
States and stuff. So like, it was very That's interesting, but, it's just cool to see how music can be interpreted all over the world and stuff like that. And
right.
But they mashed it all together to make this like super compilation of this, people jamming on this one song, and
sure,
really neat.
Well, and this last year, as crazy as it's been, you know, it pushes people to figure out ways to continue to be creative. And so that's been inspiring to watch, you know, friends figure out how to do the thing they do, and even watching people start businesses in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, okay. Could take some hints from you maybe on how to be brave. Maybe we'll see how this goes. Like, maybe this is a bad idea, but, watching people, everyone struggled, but also there were a bunch of people that pushed forward and tried to figure out innovative ways to work around things. And so
yeah.
That's been, probably watching that helped me make the record. I'm like, okay, I can do this. Other people can do things. Got to keep doing it. That's, you know, we got to get a win somewhere.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Is there, what do you think? Like, I mean, obviously, there was several things, I'm sure, but what do you feel like was probably the biggest hurdle of trying to put out a record and during a pandemic and stuff?
Scheduling's always complicated. I play a lot of solo shows because the second you start adding people, you make your life exponentially more harder in a lot of ways. You know, you throw in two schedules and goodness gracious, but also trying to get someone to a studio and everyone safely. That was probably, which is always the hardest part to me, is the scheduling anyway, but that made it significantly more mm-hmm. tricky. Everyone worked together really well, and we canceled some time that we wanted to use, and we found some extra time other places, and it all worked out. It was definitely a lesson in patience of just sit back. It'll get done. We're doing the right thing. But definitely scheduling and timing.
Yeah.
Was the hardest part.
For sure. Yeah. I'll show you. Look at my calendar. Like I have to,
you're right.
I have to color code everything, where I'm supposed to be, what time, and like alarms going off all the time. Like,
sure.
It's probably will lend to make it look like I'm way busier than I am, but it's just like, it's just tricky trying to juggle, you know, my stuff. And then I'm also, you know, I'm married, so I have to things with the wife also, and all, sure. You know, so it's just like you got to try to, you know, be everywhere and, you know, be right. on time and everything else. So it's like, just definitely gets a time management's definitely important. So
sure. I'm one of my pandemic project, I guess you could call it. I've been for years wanting to start a history podcast. So I've been able to kind of put that together. But as I'm developing that, I have so many email addresses and so many different calendars that are merging that are, I feel for you. Yours yeah. is still worse than mine, but I'm approaching your level of spreadsheeted life, yeah. but that's okay.
I'm still late everywhere, but I still, but I do like to try to at least stay organized and like, and try to, especially doing, you know, booking this podcast and everything else. And right. I also put in all the concerts whenever that's going on. I try to put those in there. So I make sure not to book myself on a night I want to go out to a show and
sure.
so things like that. But
that's, but that takes, that makes sure you're able to enjoy, I think, what you do a bit more because it's not yeah. overwhelming. You've plotted it out and you've planned it out. And yeah. I think to some people that looks daunting and you're like, no, I just know what I'm going to be doing. Right. Those things are happening, whether I know about them or not, but knowing yeah. about them, it really helps.
sure.
No, I appreciate a good organization.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So you, let's talk about another track on this. Again, this is, all these songs are available, readily available on Spotify, wherever you're getting your digital music at, mm-hmm. you can, but, do we have physicals, available?
Only for the Kickstarters. So okay. that was how we paid for the record was we did a Kickstarter campaign and yeah. the only CDs that are made are for the people who recorded it or okay. helped fund the recording. So, cool. partially cause I'm a lazy person. I got tired of carrying around CDs that nobody buys, until you don't bring them to a show and then everyone wants to buy a CD from you. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm save a bit of the environment and not just have CDs in my closet.
Yeah.
I'll probably do a vinyl release of some upcoming stuff. But yeah, trying to figure out better ways to do the business stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like one, they take up a lot of room and then they break and everything else. And like, it's just true. But like, I enjoy collecting CDs, but I also, preferably vinyl when available. It does feel like a lot more people are leaning towards just putting out a vinyl release and stuff. And so, you know, it's cool, man. I like having them. I've just bought the new Lucero record on vinyl nice. The other day. And,
nice.
I try to buy as much as I can, you know, when it's available, like I said, so.
It's a really, I do enjoy that vinyl has come back, if nothing else for the larger album artwork, because,
yeah.
and I, you know, it's back to those record store memories of like opening up a CD and flipping through the booklet and seeing who was in the thank yous. Like, yeah. oh, this band is friends with other bands I like. That's yeah. super cool to me.
Right.
You know, I do love that aspect, until I'm the one that has to carry the right. the product around. And then I become far less of a fan of it. But I do have my own CD collection. Anytime my friends put out CDs, I try to nab them up.
Yeah, man. Well, let's talk about Table Will Build. This is
sure.
Also featured on the album. What comes to mind when you think about this song?
Oh, this was kind of a culmination of a lot of frustration. I think watching a lot of people struggle with things that didn't make sense why folks needed to struggle with those things. It seemed like we had some resources that were available that were just not being distributed the right way. And then I think that kept getting pronounced again and again in 2020, in my opinion. But I think it was definitely a social jab. But also trying to find that hope, because I know that there's people out there working really hard to make that the world a bit different in that regard. And so I wanted to leave that, like, it's a frustrating fight, but it's worthy work.
Pray for manna anymore. the stories you told us before. Our blood and our sweat we have spilled. There'll be enough seats at the table we'll build. May our labor make more than dollars and cents to pay for our debts and our slumlord friends. Leave for our children more than sinking ships. Prayers sang from our parents' lips. They sold us all secondhand dreams. We drank them all down like snake oil schemes. They say it's not symptomatic of the time, but they painted the proof in the chalk outline. Our voices are loud and they're screaming for truth. More than just pledges we said in our youth. Sing in your chorus and stand in your line. Roll back the tear gas every time. I recommend that you start to roll. Or get out of our goddamn way. We're all so sick and tired of being told we got nothing to say. And we're still standing in Haymarket Square. Injustice still hangs in the air. You're invited to the party, they'll open their doors. Work in their factories and die in their wars.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't get too involved with any of the stuff. I mean, like, you know, obviously everybody has their own opinions on all of it, and but it's sure. Like, but I think it's especially in 2020 was a particularly rough year, let alone we're all on edge because of a pandemic, but then you had so much of you know, of election year, everything else going on too. Like, it was just like it's like a perfect storm of everything happening. And it was just like, such a mess. And like, but, I don't know, man, I'm hoping, some things are changing, but so it's, we'll see, but
it never changes as quick as you hope generally, but, and it's, and I know it's easy to, folks that are working hard to make things, better, to feel like you're not getting anywhere. And, some of it's also, I think that song is kind of a reminder of like, okay, we've got miles to go, but also we're not where we were. Mm-hmm. So, make sure you're celebrating along the way. You know, give yourself a, you know, you've done work, right. If that makes sense. So, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily an end goal other than let's just keep being better. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of the point of that song to me is let's do that.
Yeah, man. You mentioned my buddy Adam. I guess how did you guys meet on the road somewhere?
we met online. years back, I was trying to book a show somewhere in St. Louis, and I was trying to find someone local that wanted to hop on. And I'm pretty sure that I just went to Facebook and I typed in Americana. Musician St. Louis, and like 300 people popped up, and somewhere around 13 or 14 was Adams. And I was like, let's just reach out to this dude and see if he wants to play a show. Yeah. And that show didn't wind up working out, I don't think. But we started chatting online, and then he had a connection to some shows in Des Moines. And so he found himself up here a few times. And so he would crash with me up here, and he helped me get some shows in St. Louis. And, that's how, we took off. But I do like to tell people that I met Adam Gaffney online.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, telling me, a little, something about, you guys were hanging out one night, and end up watching Newsies.
Of course he did. Yeah. We had perhaps had some alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
Just a few. And then I don't for the life of me remember exactly how we got to talking about Newsies, but I had recently gotten on a bit of a Newsies kick. It's a great musical. And started talking about it, and what either him or Kendall probably very vaguely seemed interested. And I was like, clearly everybody wants to watch Newsies right now. And so after more time than I want to admit, the alcohol had simmered a bit in my mind, and I realized that I had forced these people to just watch a musical after we closed the bar. And I'm like, okay, guys, we don't have to keep watching this.
You know, like three dudes do.
Yeah, just watching musicals. I still very much believe that both of them enjoyed it more than they will admit.
Yeah.
And I am glad to admit how much I enjoyed watching Newsies with them.
Yeah. That Kendall, he's a lot of fun too.
He's a hoot. Both those
guys are good guys.
Super fun. I'm excited to get back on the road and run into them a few places here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. I had them on the show a while back, and they got into some crazy stories of some of the various characters they run into on the road and playing some of the bars they play and stuff like that. But makes me miss it, man. I wish I could be out there going to these shows, because that's like a huge part of my life. And
right.
And you know, even though there are some weird nights and you run into some of those people, it's a fun story to share. And
yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So hopefully we'll have a Casey Joe Collins show coming to town sometime soon. And
I want to do the songwriter round
I got to find a new home, man. We got to, unfortunately, Naked Vine, which was where I hosted the show for nearly 3 years, it was a kind of a casualty of the pandemic and things too. Like he tried to hold on as long as he could. It just didn't work out. And, I think there's bigger and better things in Brian's future, but, unfortunately, they had to close their doors and
yeah, still a hard loss at the moment for sure.
Yeah. So, but I'm find, something here. I mean, I haven't really been, too active yet in it, still kind of waiting for things to fully open up where people want to feel comfortable coming out to more shows. And
sure.
I also don't want to have to do it where, you know, a big part of a live entertainment for me is the social, is the, you know, hanging out, the hugs and high fives and, and I just want to be able to do that stuff and not have to, you know, see everybody behind a mask. And
it seems like a tease, you know, right? So. Yeah. I understand that.
So I know people have been doing some shows and doing these like socially distanced, pods and whatever, these different things like that. And I just want to, do it. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. And that's all it is.
And it seems like the vaccine's getting around, and it seems like numbers are looking much better. And, it's definitely hard to get, super hopeful, after 2020 about anything. It's a little bit of trepidation. I think it's getting there. I think we're getting there, and we get to hug each other again. And I'm pretty excited about hugging all my friends.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think I'd, I love it. I love a good hug but it's just like, something that was like, you didn't think you would have to miss that, it's like until it's taken, you didn't think you'd have to take that for granted that you, but
no joke. Yeah.
But yeah, man. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. So hopefully, nice. We'll link up here in St. Louis sometime soon and do a show and have a good time. But,
that'd be great.
Yeah, man. Well, you got your guitar there with you.
I do.
I was thinking maybe it could be cool to do one of these live on the show today.
Sure. Do a little. Well, beg, borrow, and steal, I think.
Yeah.
My bones had grown restless for I was 17. So I left that town like I was methamphetamine. I read a bunch of books about Frank and Jesse James, Life on the Run, figured I'd do the same. I'll beg and borrow and steal, I'll beg and borrow and steal. I'll beg you for a minute, just a minute of your time, and borrow this moment, song or life. Maybe I'll steal it a place in your mind. Won't find me with your nickel or your dime. I knew before the call came that you'd overdosed. Folks back home call that the Holy Ghost. You found your escape and you found it chemically. I ran mine down chasing this melody. I'll beg and borrow. I'll beg you for a minute, just a minute of your time, and borrow this moment, song or line. Maybe I'll steal it a place in your mind. Won't find me with your nickel or your dime. If I fall on my knees, would you pardon my crimes, all my shortcomings, all my slant rhyme? I've broken all my teeth, chewing on this guilt, living alone in the house that it built. I'll beg and borrow and steal. I'll beg and borrow and steal. I'll beg you for a minute, just a minute of your time. Borrow this moment for a song or line. Maybe I'll steal the place in your mind. Won't find me with your nickel or your dime.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Sounded real nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So again, check out a copy of Casey Joe Collins. Wherever you find that EP, wherever you're getting your digital music at today. Is it an EP? Is that what we're calling it?
I think it's I think technically seven songs is
an LP.
If you want it to be, I don't care what you call it. I don't care what we call things. You know how I work. Right. Like, whatever. It's a collection of songs.
There you go. Yeah. I just didn't know if there was a defined line, but like what makes it an EP or an LP, you know, but.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't pay attention to the rules enough.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You in the song, you were saying, reading books about Frank and Jesse James, and you said something about wanting to maybe do a history podcast, and
yeah.
So I'm guessing you're a fan, huh?
I am. I'm a history fan. Yeah. I got to study guerrilla warfare in Missouri during the Civil War when I was a master's student at Iowa State, and I grew up with, you know, Jesse James was in they rode with some of my family members. And, there's Jesse James hideout caves all over the Ozarks. Like, that's part of our lore.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, let's figure out who this actual person was. And it led me into, guerrilla warfare and the Civil War. And so, I'm a bit of a history nerd.
Yeah.
That's been my first known love before music was studying history.
You think you'll do that podcast or?
Yeah, it's we might have it launched next month. We've been designing and working out the details and how we're going to run it, but I think we're about there. It should be out this spring. Maybe all the things, the new things and the old things, will all kick up all at once, and I'll just be busy as heck.
Yeah,
which is totally fine. I'll take that.
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, yours is, I'm sure, will be much different than this. But like, I have a lot of fun just doing the show, getting to meet all kinds of people and share stories and songs and stuff. But, you know, the same thing with, you know, even if it's about history and thing, I'm sure you're going to learn all sorts of different stuff that, you know, it's, and that's what keeps me doing it. Like, I'm a fan of music and I love discovering new music. So I keep digging and trying to just find new stuff. So
right.
You as a history buff, you know, you think you probably know quite a bit, but then once you get going, you're probably gonna be like, man, I had no idea about this story or whatever.
Right. Right. I learned in grad school that every answer that I thought that I was going to answer, just had seven more questions.
Yeah.
And then I gave up trying to find answers necessarily and just keep having the conversation going about things that I was finding. I didn't quite get my master's degree, and I've had a lot of people that, you know, asked when are you gonna go back to college? When are you gonna go back and finish that? And then I finally asked myself, I think the correct question, which was, how do I want to teach history? And it's not in academia. I want to be able to do it however I want to. So, so we decided to call the thing, Guerrilla History. And, it's just, boldly says, we're just going to study history how we want to.
Yeah.
And give that away for free. Yeah.
I had that dream for quite a while. I thought that Dub was going to be my life was like going through high school. Like, I was like, that was kind of the college plan, was like to go and try to become a high school teacher and coach football and basketball or something, kind of go that route. And
sure.
I mean, I think still it would be fun, but obviously wasn't in the cards for me. I didn't quite take that career path and stuff, but you know, it was just, but I think, I don't know. I don't know necessarily that the teaching part of it is exactly why I wanted, like, I remember being in school and I had so many teachers that were such a huge part of my life. It just, as, you know, as humans, not necessarily
right.
because of what I learned in their class, but the life lessons that they taught me and stuff. And like, and I, you know, always thought that would be a lot of fun to, you know, to be that person for somebody else and stuff too. So
sure. That's awesome. Yeah.
But, you know, so I learned that I can do that in other ways. Also, I can be that person without necessarily, being in the classroom or whatever. So
sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grew up. So,
hey, me too. Yeah. If we're being honest about it, me too.
Yeah. One day we'll figure it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, or not. Yeah. Or not. Yeah. We'll just be Peter Pan for the rest of ever.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, why not? You seem to be doing all right.
So obviously there's a lot of good stories throughout. Like, there's some darker stuff in throughout this record.
Sure.
You know, but like I said, like I do like that. You do try to put a positive on all of it and stuff, but do you feel like that, you kind of told me off mic, I don't know if you really want to talk much about it, but you were saying that, like, you were adopted at birth and so, like, do you feel like, I mean, obviously things worked out. You're here today. Do you find, like, some of that stuff, like, where you wish things were differently, like you would, like, or something, or do you ever, like, I know people
wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I figure. Like, there's stories, like, people, like, you know, some people really long to meet their biological families and, like, they feel like a piece of them is missing and things.
Sure.
I just watched this crazy documentary. I don't know if you caught it, but And like, for me, like, it was like really like weird to think about, but like they, it was called Identical Strangers, and it was three, triplets, sure, brothers, that the two met and they realized that they were twins. And then like the third one's like, hey, you guys look like me. And like,
realized, sure.
But I was just like, it was so weird to think about that. There was some, you know, they split up these three brothers and like, and sent them to, they were adopted by various families and
sure.
But
So I was adopted when I was three. And that's when I became Jake. And then at the age, I'm 33 now. And so at the age of 28, via Facebook, I actually found my biological family. My brother's actually biological brother's on the way up to see me today.
All right.
So I reconnected with them. And we've since had a really cool relationship, and it's been interesting figuring that out. And for the first time having a biological family in my life, where my brother and I are standing there and I'm like, oh, you look like me right now. Like, that's a face I make.
Yeah.
No, but that never happens with anybody else. Like, it's always an impersonation of my face. It's not like, that looks like me,
right,
when you make that face. So, so when I'd gone under Mississippi Jake for years, and I kind of felt like it was a character that I thought I was trying to go after, and then decided I was just me. But I never wanted to use Jake Turner as my like music name. It didn't have a ring to it that I liked. It wasn't there. I wanted to use it for other things too. And then it kind of dawned on me, so let's just use the other name that I had. Casey Joe Collins felt like it had a nice little ring, and the story's a bit fun. So it's been fun to give life to kind of the little kid that I never got to be in some ways, you know, and I'm never going to grow up.
Yeah. But that's really cool, man, that you were able, like, and even if it's now as an adult and stuff, but you're just able to have that relationship with them and stuff, and I'll still have your adopted parents and things and stuff.
Yeah.
That so you you know, that's kind of the, that's really cool, man. Like, I don't know, like, I you know, I've never been in that world, but like, I just feel like if you, these are your parents, you know, like you
right,
you don't know any different, you don't know, like, but right. I do find it like, I was obviously watching shows and stuff like where they eventually tell them like, hey, you were adopted and things or the birth parents are trying to get involved more and stuff. And like, it sure definitely can get tricky, but it's nice when it all works out where everybody can get along and everything is great. And
right,
like I said, you have this relationship with your brother now and stuff too. And
right.
So I it's just like, that's super cool, man.
It's been a wild, ride. I decided that after finding my biological family on Facebook, that nothing could surprise me anymore. Like that, nothing else. And then we had a pandemic, so I was a little bit wrong, but,
right.
It's been a wild ride, but also, being able to share that story when I hear someone else say that it matters to them, or, you know, I've had people that were like, hey, I kind of knew about this biological sibling, but I didn't really want to reach out, but now I kind of want to, you know, inspiring people to, mm-hmm, with that story to like, you know, if you reach out, if you want to, like, it's worth a try. It worked out great for me.
Right.
And so, not sad about that at all.
Right. Well, I think it's, and you know, just, you also hear stories like, you know, the, of like people needing kidney donors or whatever, you know, that kind of things like that, or maybe right, maybe they develop something that they don't really know. And it turns out like, oh, it's a genetic thing that's been, you know, and it's like,
right.
So it's nice to at least have some connection to your roots where, you know, like at least you can have like,
right,
ask some questions if something does come up like that. And like, you know,
yes.
Like, so, man, I'm happy for you. At least, like I said, it's cool that it all worked out. And
yeah,
it's crazy stuff, man. Like,
yeah, the next album, even before I did the name change, was going to be Life and Times of Casey Joe Collins, right, which is kind of an autobiography. So we'll be unpacking the story a bit more for you too. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it, but it's been, it's been a wild ride. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change any of it right. at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to hear some new tunes. Obviously these are all new, but,
right.
You know,
right.
I that's me as a fan. Like if once I get going, it's like, even if, you know, I often joke, like you could put out like a double album or whatever, and I'd still be like, all right, when's the next one? It's like,
right.
Know, like,
right.
That's right. Just how I am. I love, keep going, listening to more music. So
sure. Yeah.
I like that too. Like your style, and just like the way you were able to do the storytelling into the songs and stuff like that, that you write, you can tell a story in 3 minutes or whatever, you know, it's like that kind of right. thing. So,
right.
So I think that would be fun to kind of tap into some of those and, mm-hmm. and share and continue to share your story of maybe help if, you know, inspire others or whatever else, or like you're saying. So,
right. Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I like, you know, there's a lot of things like, I just feel like if I can make a difference in one person's day or life or whatever, like, I mean, it's all worth it then. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. You, so again, the website is caseyjoecollins.com and, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll, like I said, we'll be out on the road, but, do you play quite a bit around the Des Moines area then when you're not on the road? Like,
yeah, it goes through waves. Summertime's pretty busy here. We've got a lot of breweries with patios and some cool spots to play. And then I go through phases where I spend a bit more time on the road. And when I'm home, I try to work on new tunes instead of playing every night of the week possible. But also, you got to figure out how to make the ends meet. So
right.
sometimes you got to, you know, play every show possible. And yeah.
Yeah. I got a couple questions I've been having fun asking everybody. And okay. What about a dream dinner? Like I got, so this kind of came up on Stern show the other night. I was listening and he had Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters on, and Dave was talking about going to a dinner at Paul McCartney's house and hanging out with Paul, and Taylor Swift was also there. And like, I was just like, man, what a party that would have been, like just a,
sure.
you know, but what if you had past or present, you could invite some people over and hang out for the night for dinner and stuff or whatever. Who would you like to include in that conversation?
I think I would invite Tom Waits to a yeah. Chinese food buffet.
Yeah. There you go.
Can we do that? Is that okay?
I'll allow it. Yeah.
It would be like a super high quality buffet. Let's be in,
right.
Know, not now. We don't want to feed Tom Waits, you know, garbage, you know, Chinese food. I think it anywhere with Tom Waits. I don't actually care what the setting is.
Right.
I would just love to sit and listen to that human talk.
Yeah.
Like just, I don't care. Just start talking. You're not going to disappoint me.
Right.
I think he's a fascinating human.
For sure, man. I agree. I have there's a bunch of variations on it, but I have the Tom Waits for President t-shirt. I'm a fan as well. And he, very interesting guy.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're not too far off from the voice. You're good.
He's
got... probably 30 more years of smoking on there for you, but
right,
you're
right. I'm working yeah. my way that way, I think. Yeah, yeah, probably.
You got some gravel in there though.
There is some gravel. I blame the dirt road I grew up on more than anything. that's a good question though. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I just think about it like, because especially like some people that I'm, you know, obviously that are gone now but it would just be nice to have those conversations with some of these people that are, especially people that inspired you to even want to be a musician and stuff. So
sure. Woody Guthrie would be one for me. I would love to, hang out with that guy.
Yeah.
A cup of coffee would probably be pretty good.
There you go.
With him. Yeah.
Yeah. What's a song that always gets stuck in your head, or what's the most recent one that's stuck in your head?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a, what is the name of that song? There's a song by a band called Gaslight Anthem. And the song's called Here's Looking at You, Kid. And it's got a pretty catchy, I don't know, it gets stuck in my head pretty frequently. It's one of the few songs I cover too. I enjoy playing that song live.
Yeah.
And yeah, that probably pops into my head more often than maybe any other song.
I have a tendency to like, it's not like it'll just be like one line or something and just be on a loop, you know, just like for whatever reason, that particular sentence or whatever is just like stuck on repeat in my brain.
And sure.
Till I go nuts.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
All right, so we have a Casey Joe Collins action figure. What would be three of your accessories?
Oh goodness. My keys on my belt loop.
Yeah.
Because I jingle everywhere I go. a pair of work boots, and guitar seems like too much of a cop out answer, but can I just go with that? A guitar? That's a cop out, isn't it?
I'll accept it.
Yeah. Okay. How about a cup of coffee? No, it'd be a cup of coffee. It'd be, this cup.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. What about, when you have we have a Casey Joe Collins biopic, who would you like to see cast as you in the movie?
Oh goodness. I feel like they gotta like kind of look like me, right though? I don't know who sure. I think looks like me.
You don't ever get that?
Nobody's that unfortunate. Nobody that's going to make money off their face. I don't know. So we'll just go, actor quality. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take Leonardo DiCaprio can play me if you want.
Sure.
To. That'd be fine. I'm not saying it's warranted. I'm not saying I'm that cool, but it would be it'd be flattering if they, right. I will go with that. How about that?
Yeah. He's got range. Yeah. I think he can do about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever, has he ever sang in a movie though? Like,
not that I know of. That I know of. What about Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah.
Very different. That's a very different selection, obviously. Right. But I would take. I don't know.
I was surprised by Bradley Cooper singing with that "Star Is Born." Like,
yeah,
I was really impressed by his vocals. I didn't really know what he'd sound like singing, but he sounded great. And like, so some of those guys surprise you with their singing voice and.
This is true. Yeah. Some of those folks wind up with a role where they're like, well, I got to learn how to sing now,
yeah.
I give anybody props who can just say, well, I'm going to jump in and learn this new thing.
Right.
I had a friend who decided he wanted to learn Spanish. And so like 6 months after studying Spanish, he moved to a Spanish speaking country. Cause he's like, well, I'm never really going to learn it unless I immerse myself. I'm like,
right.
You're insane. But he learned the language very quickly.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you're going to do it, right?
sink or swim, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, man. You, what about, what's your strangest fear?
The front wheel of a bicycle falling off as I'm riding it. It's ruined bicycles for me. I'll be riding around and the anxious part of my brain, all it sees is that front tire going off. And then, that this metal rods just go into the ground and me going over. I have a hard time riding a bike. Cause I'm like, man, obviously that's not going to happen logically,
right?
But it could happen. So it's just not even fun to ride a bike anymore. Probably that, snakes, but that's an incredibly logical fear in my opinion.
that's a pretty common one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What about a dream duet or collaboration? Is there somebody you'd love to sing with or write with?
Yeah. I would say probably Brian Fallon from Gaslight Anthem would be a fellow that I would like to write with. That would be fun. Also the Turnpike Troubadours would be fun to write with and collaborate with.
I hope those guys get back together someday, but obviously it's kind of a bummer that the way things went down the way they did, but
right.
I don't know. But yeah, they were a fun group to see live. And
oh yeah.
And I was kind of a part of that, like as they were really gaining momentum. I got to see them at a small club here in St. Louis off Broadway with about, 300 people. And then watched, and then they went to the pageant, the theater, like for 1,000, and then they sold out the pageant. And so,
right. Right.
It was fun to kind of watch that journey with them.
Sure. I think that's part of the reason that I've enjoyed Brian Fallon and Gaslight. I got to play a few shows with them years ago. And then one day I came home from my night shift job and my roommate's like, "Hey, look at the music video on TV." And it was Gaslight Anthem. And then all of a sudden they blew up in their own way. And
right.
I remember like, well, what the hell did I do wrong? Like, why is my music video not on TV? But it's fun to watch artists, as they get their due, yeah. I feel like is kind of how you feel is. Yeah,
sure. I mean, I laugh about like a guy like Chris Stapleton. Everybody's like, overnight sensation type of thing, this right. guy. But he'd been
Steel Drivers.
Yeah, he'd been kicking around for a long time and writing all these great songs and for everybody in Nashville. And then like all of a sudden, like he sings with Justin Timberlake at the CMAs and he's a superstar overnight kind of thing. I'm like
right and everyone says this new person and you're like, yeah, I'm
right,
new to you for sure. Yeah. But yeah,
but but it's just kind of crazy when things click for that certain artist and then all of a sudden they're on a rocket to the top, man. It's like, so he's I saw him again with like in a club with like 400 people and then like when Traveler came out, and then all of a sudden, like the next summer, he's doing amphitheaters and stuff. And it's like, it was
right.
wild.
Right. I feel like it wasn't that long ago that like Steel Drivers were playing at like rest areas across the country. Yeah, sure. Like before they started getting, their due.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, it's part of it.
Right. That's a crazy business for sure, man.
It is a crazy business. Yeah. Man. It ain't boring though. It ain't right. boring usually.
Yeah. We mentioned voices, Tom Waits and stuff, but do you do any celebrity impressions?
No, I do enough embarrassing stuff. I figured I'd not add that to the repertoire either.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought I'd spare the world from that one.
There you go. See, I try to see who would bite on that one. That's just fun to see.
Adam Gaffney probably would.
Yeah. All right, one more. All right, you get to front the band for one song. What's going to be the band and the song? If they pull you up on stage at the concert and they get kind of thing.
Man, that's a good question. I feel like Dropkick Murphys would be a lot of fun to be the guy in charge for a minute. That would be fun. I'll go with that. Seems like a blast.
What's the song?
Oh, that's a good question. We'll go with the workers song. We'll go to an old classic there.
I was wondering if you might go shipping up to Boston. Obviously it's such a classic. Let crowd go nuts for that one. But
sure,
I'd almost as much fun as it would be me or you singing it or whatever, I think I'd rather watch the pros do it,
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I hear that.
But that would be a fun night for sure, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those guys seem like they can party.
I don't doubt that at all.
I did see you ever watch on Facebook or whatever there's headlines, but it's hard times. And they it was one that said something like, Dropkick Murphys are able to pay their rent after their Spotify royalties check for March or something like that. Like, and it just made me laugh. Like, right. It's like, obviously everybody's Irish and for St. Patrick's Day.
Right. You know, yep. That's funny.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. I mean, like, some of that stuff, they poke at it and you laugh, but it's like, and sometimes It's kind of sad too, but it's still funny. Like, so
right. Right. Yep. But
yeah. But anyway, man, this has been super cool tonight. I'm really glad we made this happen.
Me too. Thank you very much for having me.
And again, spin the music wherever you can. Tell a friend. Follow along on the socials and everything. And hopefully catch Casey Joe Collins coming to a town near you this summer. But yeah, man, hopefully get you here in St. Louis and we'll line up something fun. Hopefully that'll work out. And when everything's opens back up here, hopefully. Fingers crossed. I keep saying trying to manifest it, you know. It's like, so
yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that.
But putting that positive energy out there and hopefully wishful thinking, you know, kind of thing. So
sure.
but sure. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, man. All right. I'll see you soon, my friend.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.